you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
So my question is, what is the first steps that you guys took into planning your wedding? Because me and my fiance want to get married next year, and it is a little stressful, but you guys had an awesome day, and I want to see how I can make it awesome as well.
Well, I'll probably pick this one up. You know, planning a wedding is one of the hardest things I've ever done. That's
The first thing I did was procrastinate. Welcome to the 100th episode of Shit They Don't Tell You.
100 thank yous to everybody listening right now.
I cannot believe it's been 100 episodes, and we only release one episode a week. So that's like almost 2 years. In two episodes, it'll be two whole years of never missing an episode a week.
Oh, because we missed two?
No, 52 plus 52 is 104.
Oh, I didn't know
that
shit. So I
was just doing math.
I'm thinking of 50 and 50.
Don't worry your pretty little face.
I'm thinking of 50 and 50.
Why are you thinking of that?
Well, I feel like we take some weeks off.
We do, but the episodes don't.
True.
We actually stockpiles. They don't need to know any of this. Anyway, we're here. It's the 100th episode, and we wanted to do something really special for the 100th episode. So we decided to take live calls. However, we are not very technologically advanced. So the most efficient way that we could do this is by asking you on Instagram. And if you're not following on Instagram, you can follow me at Nikki Limo. You don't have to follow Steve.
No, follow me. Steve Green Comedy. Thank you.
Follow the podcast at Shit They Don't Tell You. And also taking questions from our Patreon. And I didn't want it to be like where we know the questions ahead of time because I like answering on the fly, but we wanted to take the subject matter of each question so that we get a variety and it's not just us telling everyone to break up.
Well, we're gonna do that solo.
Although that would be pretty fun too and on brand. So we fielded some subjects of questions from Instagram users that submitted, and we took their phone numbers down, and we are going to call them today and see if they're home and ask them why aren't they working. And then ask them what their question
yes.
is.
And also, what are they doing to celebrate the 100th episode?
Yeah. And try to get some compliments out of them. Most importantly, I feel like
please state your question with a compliment.
And state your compliment.
Thank you.
Oh, our first caller is a patron of our Patreon, and we wanted to take their questions first, so we offered it out a couple days ago. And if you haven't been to the Patreon, you can go check it out, patreon.com/sticky. We do bonus episodes over there, and it's really fun. And we also do live streams. And
yes, we have a cool community on Discord.
A really cool community. It's awesome. We love them.
And also, we haven't talked to anybody, so we're not using their names. We're just using their usernames.
Yeah, we're just using their usernames.
Because we didn't.
If they want to say their real names, they could say it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, without further ado, I guess we should get started. Mark, do you know how to do this? Hi, Lemon Roll.
What's up, Lemon Roll? You're live.
Hi.
You could say your real name if you want to, but we wanted to protect your identity just in case.
Oh, that's fine. I'm Leah.
Hi, Leah.
What's up, Leah?
Hey.
there are multiple Leahs on our Patreon, so.
True.
Do you want to say your last initial just in case so everyone knows that it's the proper Leah?
Oh, Monroe. M.
Leah M. Okay.
Wonderful. So much anonymity.
Yeah, very nice.
All right, so you are our first caller today. Very exciting. It is our 100th episode.
I feel special.
You are so special. Do you have a compliment for us? Because we're taking all the compliments.
So you guys are my favorite podcast.
Oh, my God.
And I'm super excited to be your first caller.
Yes.
Feels good. That felt good.
There's all the compliments.
Do you have a question for us today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the other part.
Yes, I just have a question. So there might be, like, some small questions within a question, but what is the shit that no one told you about starting a podcast? / do you have any advice for someone who has, like, no social media following whatsoever on how to possibly start and grow a podcast?
Ooh, this is a good question. Okay, so first of all, the shit that they didn't tell us about starting a podcast that I feel like going back now, I would want to know. And when we started the girls podcast, Big Mood, I feel like I had this information to, like, help start, was just like, video is great.
Yes.
Originally, we weren't sure about video. We were like, well, it's an audio platform. Like, why do we want, should we do video? And it was kind of like, we were kind of half-assing the video portion of it. But there's so much more audience that we've reached, I feel like, that wouldn't have known about the podcast had we not also posted on YouTube.
And you connect more with the audience. Like, I feel like I connect more with podcasts that I watch.
Yeah.
Any podcast that I just listen to, I don't feel as connected to as the ones that I watch.
And you can share clips more. It's easier to share on social media, like, when you're doing the promotion of your podcast, which you should be doing, you can share clips a lot easier.
Yeah, that's another question I have. How do you suggest, like, marketing it, I guess is the right word, to, like, get it out there to people so it's not just me sharing it with my friends and family on Facebook?
I think that's a good place to start. Warm market is what they call it.
What do they call that?
The warm market.
You
it's your friends and family.
You're freaking douche.
It's a sales term.
Good
it's
Lord.
True, though.
Be a person.
No, I'm saying, like, okay, you have your friends and family on Facebook, and, like, some of your friends are people, like, from high school or college or old coworkers that haven't seen you in a long time, but they still keep in contact with you. I just put something, a sketch from 2 years ago up on my Facebook recently, on my personal Facebook, and a bunch of people reshared it because they had never seen it before. And I thought, like, everyone had seen it because, like, I released it 2 years ago, but they don't follow me on, like, my public social medias. They only look at my personal page. So them sharing it with their family and their friends, and then if someone thinks it's good, like, you got a new listener, you got a new subscriber.
And the best way to market your thing is your angle. What's your angle? Like, there's no better thing that markets your thing than your angle.
Or your niche. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. I think there's an audience for every niche. So, like, we were just talking about The Bachelor the other day. You could do a whole podcast on The Bachelor you use the hashtags. Using hashtags, I think, will find you a new audience of people that are strangers that you don't know yet. I think hashtags are a really good way to bring a community together. Sometimes, like, if I'm looking up, bullet journal ideas, I just look up hashtags, like hashtag Bujo.
And it's a really fun way to be snarky, too, if you like that.
True. You can put a little sarcastic. You can put a little bit of your personality in those hashtags.
Yeah.
What's your podcast about? You want to promote it here? What's going on?
So I'm wanting to do it kind of mimicking the same kind of niche that you guys do, where you kind of have guests on and then you have a topic and you discuss it. I really love your podcast, and I want mine to have the same vibe of, like, when I'm listening to your podcast, I feel like I'm sitting there just having a conversation with you guys.
Oh, awesome.
And, like, I really want to, like, have the same thing going on.
Would you say that you're here for the vibe?
What's that?
Would you say that you're here for the vibe?
I'm 100% here for the vibes.
Leo, why are you trying to be a competitor with us? Yeah, I just don't understand. Like,
you're going to put us out of business, Leo.
I could never.
I think that that's the best format, honestly. Like, I feel like I listen to podcasts where I just want to be part of their conversation.
Yeah.
So yes. Totally.
I wanted to have like the same kind of thing, and hopefully, I don't know. I just honestly, I've wanted to do it for a long time, and I think it was last week's podcast episode. Someone had written in with a question about, I think, starting like stand up.
Yeah.
And you were like, you can't just like keep asking questions if you should do it or not, or questioning it. Just jump in and do it.
Yeah.
So. That's
yeah, you really just
got to
go feet first, for sure. And then also, one thing that I wish that I would have known is the vibe of the guest really changes the energy of that episode. So just be really careful to like pick people that are the same vibe that you're wanting to put out.
Yeah, or just do what we did and stop having guests all together unless like you're your really close pals.
Honestly, I love the podcast, whether you have a guest or not. Even if it's like a topic that I'm like, I'm not really interested in that, I always listen because I'm here for the vibe.
Well, you're awesome.
Well, you're part of the vibe now.
We'll see how you feel after the credit episode.
I'm so excited.
Well,
kidding.
Good luck, Leah. Like, honestly, just do it. You'll learn so much by just doing it.
Yeah, and,
right.
And also,
so
too, we have a cool community that I'm sure would like to listen to you do whatever. So.
Oh, yeah, in the Patreon or in the Discord.
Yeah.
So.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah,
you have more around you than you think.
It's true.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for the advice.
Thank you.
Thanks
for hanging.
Leah. We'll see you Sunday, hopefully.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
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 That's something that people always say to us is that when they meet us in real life, we're the same as when we're on videos and stuff.
It makes me happy because I always feel that, but then you never know.
You never know how you're reading, how you come across and stuff. Yeah, I met a chick in Costco who told me that.
That's tight.
Yeah.
I saw a comment about some girl that met us at Disneyland, and she was like, I met them at Disneyland. They're exactly the same.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I just don't think I have the energy to like be a different person on camera than in real life.
No, you do not.
Like the amount of high energy YouTubers, like when they're like talking to you in real life and then they turn on the camera, they're like, hey, I don't have that energy.
I can't handle it. I can't be around it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Next caller. Hello.
Hello, caller number two. You know, shut that old tell you.
Ew. I don't like that voice.
You don't like that one?
Hello, Kayla Mino. We're using usernames just in case you want to remain anonymous. But if you want to say your name, up to you. Would you like to say your name? Sounds like I'm asking you to say
my username is my name. So
oh,
Kayla
cool.
Menno.
There you go.
It sounds like we're
Kayla
threatening
Menno.
You indirectly. I'm sorry.
Don't you want to say your name?
Yeah.
All right. Give us a compliment, please, because we need it.
Yes.
I love your guys' podcast.
Oh my God,
thank you so much.
Started
listening to.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And then you had a question about career. What was your question?
Is there a moment where you guys felt like confident in your career choice or felt like really solidified in it?
Never.
Never.
Not really. I think I'm good at stuff, but I don't think I'm like, oh, dude, you got it all 100% figured out. You'll never have a hard question again.
Well, the other thing is that it keeps changing. So, like, I started out traditional acting, entertainer, you know, acting, stand-up. And then, but this, whatever we're doing now, podcasting, YouTube stuff, that didn't even exist. That wasn't a career choice that you could choose. And even when I started doing YouTube, it was seen as, like, by the industry as, like, this subpar, like, not a real job still. And then now it's become an actual career that's, like, very well recognized. And, like, there's even, like, sub-careers, like Instagram stuff, blogger stuff. Like, there's all these other things that it's been transformed to. But even now, I'm like, is this a career? I don't know. Like,
do you feel a master of anything?
No, never.
Right.
And I think that's a good thing, too. Like, I think when you get, if you think of yourself as a master of something, then, like, you become complacent. I don't think I ever want to stop learning or improving or getting better at things.
Agreed.
Kayla Mina, what's your career path that you're on right now that you're feeling a little nervous about?
Yeah, so I'm about to graduate college with a degree in history and theater. I'm looking at going into theater.
Theater?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, it in that industry or in like, you know, theater, dramatic arts, performing arts, it's, you know, it's never, see, people are like, it's never guaranteed. You're never, it's not secure or whatever. That's the, like, that's the fear, is that like, it's not secure. Like a lot of times you're living off of gig to gig. But honestly, I think in this era, nothing's really secure. Like we don't have job security like how we used to. So I almost feel like people have this like false sense of job security when they go to a 9-to-5 instead of pursuing like what they really want to do.
True.
So just know like the fear is real. It's gonna hit you.
But
hard,
let it use
for
it
sure.
to
but
win.
Yeah, use it to win and
to motivate yourself.
And what in specifically in theater are you looking into acting? Or are you looking into like directing or playwriting?
Directing.
Directing. Nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So would you like to write in like your own play, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I have written one thus far.
That's hard. Congratulations.
Yeah,
that's really
awesome.
Hard to do.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, just get out there, meet as many people as possible. Just being in the area of like people that are doing things is so key when
yes,
you're starting out.
Surround yourself with people who do what you do.
Yeah.
Also, what's your play about?
It's about a mother, a grandmother, and a daughter, and the mother has some hospital complications, and it's all about them kind of dealing with that tension or grief.
Nice. Three generations all dealing with something in the same space. I like it. That is indeed a play.
Yes. And in...
You have passed the play test.
The play
test. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, I would say that, yeah, just know that feeling nervous or insecure about it is normal.
Listen, dude,
it's always normal.
A lot of famous directors have done like something kick-ass, and then the next movie was a complete failure. Like, how do you then pick yourself up to go again? Like, it's about like having some kind of inner confidence in yourself, but not thinking that you're a master of something. I think that's key.
And always getting better, yeah.
Exactly.
Sure.
Never claim mastery.
Okay.
Okay, so you stop saying that you're a master of a playwright over there, okay?
Yeah, well, can you stop saying that? I mean, like, that's all you're saying. Is
Humble yourself.
God. We're kidding.
We're kidding.
We like, best of luck. When your play comes out, will you invite us? Can we sit?
Yeah, can we get invited to it, please?
In the theater?
For sure.
Can we get box seats?
Hell yeah. I don't think that's... is that a thing?
Yeah.
Box seats?
Depends on the theater.
Depends on the theater.
Depends on the theater. She's going to be at a good theater, though.
Balcony seats, like Abraham Lincoln style?
No, box seats.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
It's different?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for calling. Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to say before we dump you off?
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for calling.
Well,
I guess we called you. Thanks for thanks for answering.
Thanks for picking up the phone.
Thanks
yeah.
for picking up the phone today.
What a busted ass podcast you're on. Thank you.
Yeah, we love you.
Wow, she's a playwright. That's so cool. Dude, that's hard. You got to sit there and write a 3-act play, I assume. Three acts.
I imagine it's a similar thing to writing a movie, like where it's, you're passionate about it, you like,
yeah, but a movie you get to cut. Like plays, man, that's a whole different thing. You got to make it interesting in this space,
yeah,
using the same area, and then you have to like, yeah, sometimes you fly in and out like backgrounds and shit, but damn,
mm-hmm.
that's hard stuff.
Yeah,
good
yeah,
for her
directing.
She's already done more than most people,
yeah,
you know, to give her some credit out there.
All right, next caller. Hello, Andrew Torero.
What's up, Andrew?
Hi. How are you guys?
We're great.
Very well. Thank
I
you.
Was going to say that we've been using everyone's Instagram names to protect their identities in case they want it protected, but it seems, I think that's your real full name, right?
Yeah. That's fine. That's no worries.
Okay, no worries. Right on.
You had a career about Cali life that we want to get into, but first of all, would you like to compliment us?
Yes, you guys are amazing. You guys are awesome.
Oh my God.
I love watching with you guys. Me and my fiance Daisy, literally every single day at dinner, we watch Shit They Don't Tell You.
Daisy?
And we also love watching your vlogs.
Well,
thank you to you.
That
thank
is
you
so,
to
thank
Daisy
you so much
well.
For watching. Also, we met you guys at my stand-up show, right?
Yeah.
I know you.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
They're engaged.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that that's part of the question today.
Oh, they should break up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, not that one. Not that
oh,
answer.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No. All right, Andrew, what is your question?
So my question is, what is the first steps that you guys took into planning your wedding? Because me and my fiance want to get married next year, and it is a little stressful, but you guys had an awesome day, and I want to see how I can make it awesome as well.
Well, I'll probably pick this one up. Planning weddings is one of the hardest things I've ever done. That's
The first thing I did was procrastinate. We got engaged in November of 2015. We got married in spring, May of 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, and so it took 18 months to actually get to the wedding day.
Are you planning on doing a very long engagement?
Well, we want to hopefully get married in July of next year. We'll be looking at venues and everything, but
nice.
We're still like trying to solidify an actual.
Damn, you gotta move, brother. You gotta fucking move.
What do you mean move?
Yeah,
gotta move. You gotta move quickly.
What? He has a year and like 3 months.
Yeah, but think about it. Venues, especially in July, get booked up fast.
I know. I was going to say, only thing I would worry about is the venue, which it should be like, typically it's a year in advance. So if it's a particularly hot spot, maybe you do a little over a year in advance, but like a year in advance is the average for that. I would start with venues, definitely like lock down a venue, and then you can lock down the date, especially if you want to do a July wedding.
What kind of venue are you looking at? Are you looking for an outdoor wedding? Or you want an indoor wedding? Want a beach wedding?
Outdoor wedding, mostly.
Class.
Nice. Yeah, I think those are a little easier to book. Like, so you shouldn't have a problem as long as it's like a year. I'd say like 9 months minimum, up to a year in advance. Obviously, there are places I wouldn't freak out. Like, there's always going to be places you can find a few months out from your date.
Dude,
it just depends on how much you want to plan for it.
If you're in a fucking bind. Green Bay, Wisconsin in February, outdoor wedding. You know what I'm saying? Hey, everybody, bring the thermals. Let's go. We were doing it cheap.
I'm down.
Yeah,
well,
honestly,
February,
especially living
after
in
football.
LA, I can only imagine.
That's when it's cheapest.
Uh-huh. Well, okay, so I would first set your budget. That's like the most important part, because if you don't set, you're always going to go over budget. I just can promise you that whatever you set as your budget, you're going to go over. So set it as low as possible.
I'll set two budgets.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
All of a sudden it's like, wait, you got to get napkin rings?
Yeah,
what the shit is
there's
this?
There's all kinds of like last minute shit that you're just like, why do we need this?
Why does a napkin need a ring?
Or like things you don't think about, honestly. Like how like the chairs cost money.
Right.
Like the chair rentals and stuff like that, like chairs and tables. So yeah, like set a budget. And then book the venue first, and I guess just the guest list is very important when it comes to budget.
Yes, get your guest list together.
Okay.
Because the more people, the more expensive for sure. I think the average is like $50 a head or something like that. I think in California it's actually like $100 a head.
Chipotle wedding was pretty cheap though, right?
Well,
we didn't do Chipotle wedding.
No, I know, but we looked at it.
The only reason we didn't do Chipotle wedding was because they don't deliver, so you'd have to go pick it up.
Right. But you got a brother? You got a brother over there?
I might just get a taco truck, to be honest with
you. There you go. Yeah, yeah, that's key. I love that.
Burritos and tacos and call it a day.
There you go, yeah.
Turn up and have a good time.
Also, put your best man and your matron of honor to work. Homie.
Oh, trust me, I am.
Yeah.
Oh,
good.
For sure.
Yeah. And then look into like if the venue has bring your own beverages or if they do all the food and drink. Cause I found if it's bring your own, it's a lot cheaper. Cause then you could just like,
Costco.
Yeah. You could go to Costco, bring a bunch of liquor, buy a bunch of liquor, go to Trader Joe's, whatever it is.
Sure.
And then you just hire like a bartender for the night or like an uncle or a cousin or whatever.
Okay.
But yeah, when it's all included, I find it was more expensive.
For sure.
That is very true. Well, thank you guys very much for your help.
Of course. Just plan on spending more than you want to and stressing more than you want to.
I hope this really put you
and
at
it'll,
ease.
It'll be a really fun time.
No, it did. It really did help me.
You're breathing way easy over there now.
Yeah, thanks for asking
your
question today, Andrew.
I appreciate it.
No
and
problem,
also,
brother.
Whenever you guys do stand-ups again, please post it because we want to see you guys again. You guys are
hilarious.
Oh,
hell yeah.
We love you guys.
I actually have a show on Monday. So
Nikki got a show on Monday.
See you then.
I'll be there.
All right. Awesome.
All right. Deuces.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Thanks, bro.
Bye.
Yeah, man, weddings, man. Whew.
Yeah,
whole
real,
racket.
Real tough for you, wasn't
it? It was real hard, man. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Like, neither of us wanted to plan a wedding, but guess who ended up getting stuck planning the wedding?
Me. Brutal.
Jesus
Christ. Good thing I had your mom. Good thing I had my mom.
You're lucky divorce is expensive.
I had a lot of people to lean on. You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of people to lean on. That's what I recommend.
Uh-huh. Just having people to lean on?
Have people to lean on, uh-huh. Okay?
All right. Next caller. Hello. Is it Esme Utrera or Esme Utrera?
I say Esme. It's short for Esmeralda. So.
That's what I thought. Esme.
That's easy. I was going to call you, I was going to call you caller. Caller. Hello, caller.
Please don't.
Okay.
All right, Esme. Thank you for answering your phone today. We have a question here about mental health, but first, can you please give us compliments?
Yes, I love you guys.
Thank you so much.
I've been following you guys for a couple months now, and I didn't realize that I was subscribed to your channel for a while, and I've been watching Tasty Tuesday, but that's the only thing I'd really watch. And then I started watching your other stuff, and I'm like, oh my God, I love her.
Nice. Oh my God, yes. And please, no compliments for Steve.
I'm here as well.
None. We're cutting it off.
And we're going to get to your question about mental health, but real quick, we're going to cut to a sponsor. No. That's how it sounded when you're setting up. It was great.
All right. So you have a question about mental health. What is that question?
Yeah, I noticed that you do certain things throughout your day to kind of deal with the little stuff that you've talked about with your mental health. And I've been doing some of the stuff that you do to see if like that would help me, and it's been working great, like the journaling and stuff.
Oh, good.
But I wanted to see... Yeah, I wanted to see how it works for you, or like what you think helps.
Totally. I mean, everyone else listening, on my vlog channel, youtube.com/Nikki, plug, I've been kind of showing different aspects of my bullet journal and how it helps me with certain aspects of depression and anxiety, because I tend to completely inflate or I tend to like hone in on one thing that's wrong, and like it blows up in my mind like it's this huge thing, and it starts to spiral. Like if I think that I'm behind on my schedule,
you're hyper focused on
that. I'm hyper focused on it, and my brain just thinks I haven't gotten anything done.
Yeah.
And so keeping track of things in my journal, like I have a bullet journal that I keep like, you know, weekly to-do lists on and stuff, and letting myself like check off things one by one that I've done helps my brain go, okay, we're progressing. We're actually getting stuff done today. We didn't just like do nothing for the past few hours.
It also helps you organize your thoughts.
Yeah, it helps me organize my thoughts, and it helps me just even the act of writing it down helps me be present. Like it brings me back to the present moment, which is really grounding, because I feel like when everything's just a mess in my mind and it's just so chaotic, I'm like trying desperately to hold on to every thought that's crossing instead of like dumping it all on a piece of paper and feeling like, okay, I can breathe because it's all on this paper and I don't have to like continue cycling the same thoughts over and over and over again. So that has helped tremendously. And then depression wise, I feel like, creatively, it's helped a lot, where a lot of times if I wake up and I have an episode of depression, like, and for me, it's very chemical. It's not really tied into things that are going on in my life. I've found the best thing for me to break out of that is a distraction. And so either creatively writing in my journal or keeping track of different habits like taking my vitamins or skincare. I have like a list of things that I do daily, like reading a chapter of a good book, doing all of those things, meditating, exercising, going on walks, doing all of those things, and then getting to color in each one that I did is kind of a distraction to whatever crazy thoughts are going on in my head.
Well, you're just declaring an accomplishment has been met. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, and it's less than that. That's more for anxiety. For depression, it's more of a distraction. Like, so it takes my mind off of a dark place and just puts it on something lighter to think about. Same with like the way I like choose outfits based off of a color of the day or whatever. It's just something distracting to think about that takes me away from this like sulky dark place that where I stay in bed all day. Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that it helped me too when I started doing it. Just I was trying to figure out what to do about either leaving work and going back to school, and also, you know, what I was going to do with my living situation to see if I should move into an apartment alone or live with a roommate. Writing it all down definitely helps.
Yeah, doesn't it? It help you? It helps give clarity. I feel because you can be really honest in writing, that it just kind of flows out, and you actually see what you really want to do, even if you're like consciously, you're like, I don't know what to do, but then your subconscious kind of fills you in. Yeah. It's interesting.
She also does cool doodles on it too.
I do. I also do different exercises that I just like come up with in my head. Like if I'm stressing out, like if I am in like a decision mode, like how you're talking about, should I go this way or that way or this way? I write down like what my ideal life would be, like something like the end goal. It kind of helps me zoom out big picture. So I write down like every aspect of my life and how I would want it to be in 10 years. And after doing that exercise where I really like visualize and like see where I want myself to be in 10 years, it kind of helps inform the decisions that I make now.
Sure.
It's kind of like working backwards.
Yeah, it seems like a good idea.
Yeah. So good luck with that.
Yeah.
I am glad it's helping. I'm glad it's helping you.
Yeah, I appreciate it because I haven't looked into it before watching your bullet journal, and I started following you on Instagram. So whenever you do the Snapchat stories, I'm like, oh, that seems cool. Like, let me try it.
Yeah. Yeah. And just getting to express yourself. I feel like a lot of times people just don't express themselves. And so it stays all bottled in and they don't really get to know themselves because they don't have any outlets of expression. So having that there.
A year ago,
really,
I would have laughed at such a thing. Bullet journaling to cure depression. Absurd. The absurdity of it all.
I wouldn't say cure, but...
Well, to help or
treat,
to cope. Or,
yeah,
yeah, treat.
Helps treat, yeah.
But no, it's really worked for you. It's awesome.
Yeah. And meditation and a lot of other daily habits.
I also didn't know that I was artistic at all. I started drawing in my journal. I was like, okay.
See, I love that because I feel like that's a lot of people. I feel like you're speaking to a lot of people right now because we all have the like left side, right side parts of our brain. And if you're in an environment, like especially if your work environment is very left brain, which is like logic and analytics and like, you know, straight lines and not outside the box, then you kind of think, oh, I'm just not a creative person just because you're not doing things creatively on a regular basis. But when you do an activity that activates that right side, a lot of times, like, there's just something inside you that's been wanting to come out that you didn't even know about. That I just love that part of it.
Yeah, it's definitely been nice to see because I work in law.
Okay,
so.
There you
oh
go.
My God.
The most analytical... logical.
You're like, today I drew a flower and then I cried. I couldn't believe I could do it.
Yeah.
After coming out of there,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. And it's not even cool law where it's like criminal, where it's, you know, interesting. It's litigation with like.
Oh my God.
Oh no, that's malpractice. Not the sexy law you put on TV.
That is the like most stressful, wordy kind.
Do you guys all flirt with each other? All the lawyers and stuff, all flirting with the judges and stuff?
I think she hung up on you.
Wait, I want to know. No, I want to know.
I do know a lot of judges that apparently have sex with each other.
Yes.
So. Do they judge each other during sex? I like that's, the idea of them having sex and then them judging, giving scores.
Like, you're out of order. You are out of order. Oh, God, say it again. Dennis.
No, I just meant like giving
that's
like a 1 out of 10 judgment
thank
score.
You.
Yeah.
Wow, well, thank you. You've broadened my sexual horizons today.
You're
like,
welcome, Steve.
I objectify you.
Oh, that's good.
That's better, right?
All right, guys, yeah. I have to go back to work, but I'm so happy that I got to speak to you, too.
Yeah, us too. Thank you so much for answering today. Or I keep saying, thinking, like, thanks so much for calling.
No, thanks for picking up, because we call you.
Thanks for picking up your phone, Esme.
Yeah.
Thanks for submitting a question. You're awesome.
You're awesome.
Get all that law done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poor gal. She's got to go do legal stuff now.
Well, I got to sit next to you for the next 30 minutes. So.
All I know how to do is break laws.
What laws?
Oh, I don't know. Like sometimes I jaywalk because it's convenient.
Can you not?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Thanks. All right. And on that note, we are going to take a break.
We have a very urgent question that really needs to get answered. They actually said it's an emergency, but we'll take it after this.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing to the weird to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
And we're back with the next caller. Who's the next caller? Mel San. Hello, Mel San.
Hi.
23.
Hi.
We are calling people by their Instagram names because we're not sure if they want to be anonymous, but feel free to say your name if you'd like.
Okay. My name's Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Thank you for submitting a question today. Also, would you like to start off by complimenting us?
Yes, I love you guys. I love all your guys' content.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for loving our content.
Thank you so much.
It means a lot.
You had a question about porn and relationships. Would you like to elaborate on that?
Okay, so me and my boyfriend have been together for like 10 plus years.
Whoa.
High school sweethearts. Obviously on and off throughout 10 years. But my question is that, so I recently had a baby.
Oh, congratulations.
Wow.
Thanks. So I've been very like insecure about like where my body's at. Like my confidence has been like at an all-time low. And I feel like recently he's been masturbating a lot more, watching porn. I've caught him a few times, like when he thinks I'm asleep, he'll be masturbating like next to me. So I guess that I've asked him a couple of times, like if he'd rather masturbate than have sex with me. And obviously he says no, but, you know, guys lie.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that my question is that, does he want to masturbate instead of have sex with me? Or like, I don't know. I'm very like, my sex drive is like very high right now. So
that's what I was going to ask. Like,
yeah,
you want to have sex.
Yeah, I do.
And do you feel like you, do you feel like you haven't been having much sex with him, or do you feel like you've been having sex, but he's also masturbating on top of that, and you just don't like that part?
That was my question.
I feel like it's kind of both. Like, obviously, we don't have sex like every day. Like, I would want to if we could, but I just feel like we have sex like maybe once a week.
Okay.
But I don't know if like.
Have you communicated to him about this? Like, yo, I want to fuck way more?
I have. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, we'll do it. And then, like, it just never happens. So.
Does it not happen because you guys are busy? Or is it, like, he's there and he just doesn't want to?
I don't know if it's that. He says that he does want to. But I don't know. Like, we usually spend, like, the evenings, like, hanging out, watching TV. And then, like, we'll go lay down in bed. And, like, he'll get on his phone right away. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'll just go to sleep. I don't know what else to do.
I mean, it's, you know, there's a part of this that I know is kind of funny sounding, but he might have a problem. Like,
yeah,
that's a thing, right?
Yeah, because sometimes I do that to Steve where, like, and vice versa. I take personal offense sometimes where I'm like, oh, like, I really thought we were going to have sex last night. And
yeah.
I got all, like, you know, I got all showered up and, like, had, like, make sure everything was shaved and everything. And I thought we had talked about it earlier. But then I was just waiting for you to, like, come to bed or make a move or get in the zone. And you never did. And I'm just confused. And I felt like a little rejected. And Steve, a lot of times, I'd say 9 times out of 10, it's like something that has nothing to do with me. It's like he ate too many burritos earlier. And
I'm being better now.
Yeah, true. But that does happen. And or he has a headache, or like recently he slept on his neck wrong.
Oh my God.
I don't know though about the masturbating part is that one's a variable, because I masturbate outside of sex a lot, but sometimes I'm not even turned on. Right. I just am so stressed out. Like, for me, if I have a million things going on in my mind, sometimes masturbating just makes me get back to level zero, where like it just kind of grounds me out so that I can go one step at a time again, like be more present. I don't know what it is about that. I think it's just that release of stress and tension that makes me back to zero. It doesn't affect my sex drive though. So like if later Steve wants to have sex, we have sex.
Yes.
But I don't know, like Steve, if you saw that I was masturbating outside of sex, would you feel like a little rejected?
Only if
that.
I was rejected by you in real life. Because that doesn't bother me. I know you're a very sexual person, and also I am too. I just it's one of those things where sometimes in order to be the best husband I can be to you, I am assuming something is happening that isn't necessarily happening with you. And so I have gone to maybe have sex with you, but then I read you and go, oh, maybe I shouldn't push it right now.
And then I feel rejected. Like, right. Why didn't you?
Right.
Yeah.
But then sometimes, you know, I'll just say good morning to you or whatever, and I'll get the brush off. So it's like, it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm trying to do what's right by her right now. So this sounds like something else though, where like you're literally laying down together and he would rather be on his phone is how you feel.
Yeah.
Well, there's the other variable, which is that she just had a baby, and so you're feeling insecure about your body already. So little things can that maybe aren't rejections can seem like more of a rejection because you're already insecure about how you feel. Because that happened to me a lot last year. I was at the biggest weight that I have ever been. And I was like, I was dealing with these like gut issues and stuff. And I already felt so uncomfortable in my skin, and like none of my clothes were fitting right. And I felt like, and I only could feel this in hindsight, like in the moment, it felt very real to me that I felt more rejected than normal. Cause even the slight, like me going to bed and you not trying to have sex with me felt like a rejection. And it's like, I felt even more, and it kept snowballing, like, well, I'm not sexy right now. I'm not feeling fitting in my clothes right. And because I don't feel sexy, I'm not like exuding confidence like I normally do. And so then that's adding to it. And then I'd beat myself up about it the whole time. And then it was kind of like part self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. And then for me, like, I would try to grab you a certain way and you're like, don't touch me there. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So it was just, it like, self-confidence has so much to do with so many things, especially in your sex life. So, but open communication is so important. Like, me and Nikki, I feel like we have that, like, really down pat, where we can just talk about whatever it is.
And I've found in the past when I felt rejected by a partner, and then it made me more insecure, I would like pressure them to have sex with me, like almost like, if you don't, like, I'm gonna get mad.
Right.
It made things worse.
Yeah, it does.
So I would maybe try to give it a little break, like give some distance, not like a lot of distance, but like just to give it like a week or so.
Put it at ease a little bit. The issue right now is kind of a hot plate in your house. And so when you bring it up, it's almost like triggering both ways. It's triggering for you. It's triggering for him. So maybe just giving it a sec to breathe and just being like, and both of you just being chill to each other.
Yeah.
We'll kind of
have
into
the conversation first.
Yes.
And then let it rest a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't put a ticking clock with the conversation.
Yeah. You need to clean the slate a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess another thing that I actually wanted to get Steve's opinion on is that my boyfriend, he's a morning masturbator. Like, obviously, I know, like, when he goes to masturbate, because he spends more time in the bathroom than usual.
Nice.
And I guess that I'm wondering, if he masturbates in the morning, like, does he not want to have sex later on? Or, like, because he took care of it himself?
Oh, like, I think guys can go. I don't know him, but I think he could go a bunch of times. Probably.
I know some guys that masturbate in the morning so that they can go longer.
Yes, I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
I have a buddy who comes very quickly if he doesn't get that going. So he does that to help himself out later. And I know guys who do that before dates too.
Yeah.
So it just depends on the person. I think that's more about waking up and relieving your morning wood thing. It's definitely not emotional though. It's not like, oh, I don't want to fuck later. Trust me. Like, it with guys, it's just like, oh, I gotta get this nut. Oh, cool, I got it. Yes. Awesome. Okay. I'm tired now.
It could also be too, and I'm not a new parent at all, so, but I've heard from new parents that getting alone time is very hard to do with a new baby. So it could even just be his way of like getting like extra alone time, like extra privacy. Mm. They're like, you know, you hear of guys or women like just taking longer in the bathroom to do, like, just to like when their partner has the baby,
yes,
like to
just
be
to
able
chill,
to just get away,
watch
for
YouTube videos or
bit,
whatever.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So it could be a little bit of that too.
All right.
Yeah. But
So here's a big thing, right?
Okay.
One important thing that I think is so important for relationships is to help your partner feel comfortable when they're at home. Like, you're not an enemy in their home environment, and they're not your enemy in your home environment, right? Like, so whatever he would be doing if you weren't there, it's not about like necessarily shaming him for it. It's about trying to understand why he does it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And not like going like, you're bad right now, what a bad boy you're being. And more like, hey, like, what's going on with this? Like, what's this really about? If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So then he doesn't feel like taking a deep breath before he walks in the house, because he knows that maybe he's going to deal with some shit. Like, it's more of like coming at it from an even playing field.
I guess another big part of it too is that he works like all during the week, all during the weekend, and then he comes home. I guess I don't get much attention from him, which is something that I've talked to him about, and he's like, yeah, I'll work on it. But it's another one of those things that it doesn't really change.
Yeah. Mm.
He's not like putting importance on it or priority on
it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think definitely a conversation, because without talking to him or knowing him, I can't really speak and say exactly like who he is or what his intentions are as a person. But I know that you could probably read him a lot better with the conversation of like, hey, it hurts me when you don't.
Yes.
Like, because he might not know how important it is to you. Like, he knows that you voiced that complaint, but he doesn't know like, oh, it actually is hurting you to not get that attention or quality time or physical touch. Or
I have a family member who's going through this, and it's the same kind of thing. Like, once this person approached it from a manner of like, hey, this is hurting me emotionally, that was like the wake up call for the guy. And I don't know if you've done that yet. Maybe you have.
Yeah, I've talked to him about it. Like, hey, like when you're home, like I know that you want to just relax and stress or not be stressed out, but like you need to make time for us.
Yeah, it's so important.
And what does he say to that? He's just like, okay, I'll get around to it.
He just says, yeah, I'll work on it. You know, kind of just like brushes it off.
Yeah, I think that maybe there's some urgency then that needs to happen here about how you feel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, yo, I need to be heard about this.
Yeah. And I think the intentions behind the masturbating too, like, is it like because he's going through a slump, like a depression period? Is it because he's not satisfied in the bedroom? Which I think that's the last thing, honestly, is that he's not satisfied in the bedroom. I think that it's usually just some other issue is
something
happening.
Nothing to do with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, have a conversation and then let him know how important it is and how like you want to be a team, you want to be a partnership, and you need to feel like both of you are being supportive.
And also, your needs should be being met first. Like before he gets his porn knees going, your needs should be met first. That's just part of like what makes a relationship work. And that
okay.
I think that if you could get that across to him, that's really important.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, good luck out there. We're thinking of you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hope things change soon. And
yeah.
You know, if they do, keep us posted.
Listen,
okay,
these are hard conversations to have, but being at the end of them when you get that breakthrough, it's always worth the fucking turmoil shittiness.
Totally.
Always.
Yeah.
And congrats on your new baby.
Yeah, seriously. Congrats.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. What's the name?
Can't wait for you guys to have babies.
Oh,
us
me too. We're trying. We're trying tonight.
Hopefully I'll get some tonight too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's all pray that we get some tonight.
Let's all do
yes.
Thai food and sex tonight.
Yeah. Everyone listening too. Let's all
please.
Make a pact.
Everyone's
Everyone out
doing
there
it.
Listening.
Yes.
Please go have sex tonight.
Bachelor, Thai food, and sex.
Yes. Oh, that sounds great.
You can't beat the combo, right?
Are you wooing me?
I
that
am
sounds
wooing
great.
You.
Wow.
Or Love Island, or Love Island. You can swap them out.
Oh, yeah, Love Island. That's pretty good. All right, mate.
All right, mate.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for calling. We're going to be
thank
thinking
you.
About it over here.
Yeah. Yeah, sex is so important, man.
Fuck yeah, man.
And it's one of those fragile things that, like, it's only when I'm feeling bad about myself that I feel the rejection. Like, I feel
yes.
it. Like, I feel
me
it
too.
Stronger. Like,
extremely
it's amplified.
So.
Yeah.
It just spins me out of control.
Yeah.
Especially if I can't have it.
Right.
That said, I definitely had it.
How many times?
A couple times this week. It's been pretty sick.
Wow,
it's
dang.
Been pretty sick.
What a stud.
It's been pretty fucking sick, dude. yeah.
All right, next caller. This is all TMI for you
well,
out
no.
there.
Oh, real quick. What's great about it, though, is that we've talked about how cool it is that we fucked so much.
Yeah, we did.
And that's open communication in a
relationship. Well, I was talking about how... So I've been like vlogging when I have had a recent depression episode, and I was like, I need to share this just so people that go through this don't feel like they're alone. And I feel like that's really important to share. And then I also recently vlogged yesterday when I woke up super freaking happy. Like I was like really in a good mood, and I felt like every part of my life was in balance, and how that's always a place I strive for, but I don't get there as often as I would like, but maybe by tracking like what's going on in my life at that time where I feel the most happy, I will be able to like make it more consistent. And you know, one of the biggest things was like we had a lot of sex last week.
Fucking sweet.
I was like,
dude.
Maybe that probably had something to do with it.
Fucking
I also
sweet.
Like slept 8 hours a night. I stayed hydrated. I took my vitamins. I ate fruits and vegetables. I went on walks. Like I did all these like daily habits that, you know, you tell yourself you're supposed to do, but when you actually are doing those on a consistent basis, it really does change your whole life.
No kid. And also, like. Okay, so speak to what Nikki was saying earlier. We're going to have sex before the Super Bowl. But unfortunately, your man woke up with the nuttiest neck cramp or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was crazy. Couldn't even lift my head all the way up.
I was like, do you need a doctor?
I was miserable, right, the whole Super Bowl. The next day, somehow, it's mostly better, like 80% better. And so I was able to do it. And I felt so accomplished because I went from thinking I wasn't going to get to fuck for like 5 days to like getting to fuck. And I was like, this is so sick. And then I went to the store and I bought some broccoli. And then I cut my own big broccoli head into florets.
Wow. He felt so accomplished. You cut a broccoli into florets.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to eat healthy now and stuff. And
that's awesome.
And so I just thought it was so cool that
one area motivated another
area.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a big thing. It's like I didn't realize how one completely separate area of your life 100% influences this other area.
And how one thing gave me darkness. Like, because I was so excited about fucking you on Super Bowl Sunday, because that's the Lord's Day, the holy day, high holy football day. Having that taken away from me and thinking that I wouldn't get to do it for many days in a row depressed the shit out of me. But then having it turn all around in my favor was like a super bouncy high moment.
Nice. So you got something you took for granted taken away from you.
Exactly.
And then given back.
Yeah.
Just to show you.
Listen.
Never take it for granted
with
again.
With you, if I don't fuck you every 60 minutes, it feels like I'm taking it for granted.
Aw, that's a lot of fucking. That's too much.
You want to do that? You want
to
try
that? No, I think that's too much.
Give it a go.
That's too much. We should talk to the next caller. ENJ?
It's Naomi.
Okay. What's up, Naomi?
Hi, Naomi.
Hey, guys.
How's it going? You had a question. Oh, wait. Before we get into your question,
you have to compliment
us. A compliment that you would like to give us?
Cliche, you're awesome and you're cute and I liked your pajamas.
Oh my god, thank
that
you
wasn't
so much.
Cliche. Nobody said
that
the
was
pajama
actually
one.
Original. Yeah, thank you for okay. My pajamas. I love. I'm in a new chic wife era of
I do like
wearing
your pajamas.
Some silky ass pajamas to bed, and I will tell you, I have been sleeping better since wearing some chic ass pajamas to
I've
bed.
Noticed.
Anyway, you had a question about your in-laws.
Oh,
yeah,
boy. I got several.
Been... Oh, can I go?
Oh, please.
Yeah, can she go,
oh,
please,
sorry.
Steve?
No, you're good.
Fucking yeah. Iceman, shut the fuck up.
I've just kind of been better with dads my whole life. Like, moms, I'm rough. Like, I have a rough time with it. Dads always like me. I don't know what it is. But this one in particular, like, what I'm cooking for their son isn't good enough. What my personality is just too confrontational for them. Like, I'm the kind of girlfriend that will run back in the restaurant and say, hey, like, you forgot to put barbecue sauce on his burger kind of thing. But, like, I won't
You're
be
dope.
Rude.
You're dope. That's great.
Yeah.
That's so a feature like, of you. That's not a bad thing.
Well, like, I stand up for him in ways that they kind of, like, he's annoyed by certain things about them. And, like, I will go the lengths to stand up for him in front of them. And they just kind of think that I'm too much, and overall, just I feel like super judged. I know they talk about me, and it's like I can be this quiet, like mouse person that I imagine they want me to be, and I can have like no problems with that, or I can continue being who I am and continue to just basically be judged and know that they're talking bad about me to him.
Can you give an example of the type of confrontation that you have with them?
Let's see. They're just really, really judgy about what we do. And if, for example, if we take a day off, they'll ask like, oh, well, where'd you guys go? And we'll say, oh, we went, you know, we spent a day at a hotel. And they're like, well, you guys aren't even making enough money to do that. How are you doing that? And my boyfriend will kind of try to brush it off. And I'll say, no, you guys, look, like we have our own lives. Like we saved enough. Don't worry about it. Like, I kind of stand up for us and he doesn't. And so that makes her sort of think of me as like, oh, she shouldn't be standing up. She should be sitting down, I guess you could say.
I see.
So maybe it's like just in their heads, it's kind of like a respect your elders type of situation. It could be that. It could be that like a lot of times. And I don't know what your relationship was with your parents, so maybe you got along better with your dad than your mom, because you said that you have a harder time getting along with maternal figures. Is that kind of how you're...
Yeah. I was raised by dad only.
Oh, okay. So that makes sense. So with mothers, and I found this with a few of my ex-boyfriends, and just like my own mom's relationship with my brother, there seems to be just like a different type of bond that like mothers have with with sons, and it's almost like you're taking their place to some true. To some mothers.
Very true.
And so like with some boyfriends that I've had, there were like overbearing mothers where like every little move I made, they were judging me for it because they wanted to make sure that basically that I was like them, or like they were the better version of me, so that like they'd be okay with me taking their place. And so that might be what's happening there, is that you're so different than her that she's almost like, well, that's not how I would have done it, so she's not fit to take my place.
Right. I remember, I think the first experience of it was like, I like to eat healthy and I like to make, you know, balanced meals throughout the day. And I was making like an omelet with like a green smoothie, and you know, green smoothies, they just like, they look gross, but you know, they can taste good. And she came up to me and was like, that is not what we eat. He likes eggs and bacon. He likes pancakes. He's yeah. not going to eat that.
See, that's her asserting herself. That's her being like, I know my son better than you.
I'm so annoyed by her.
You're right.
Yeah.
But I feel like, Steve, you've gone through this before too. Like yeah. vice versa, like where
I'm like you, I'm confrontational.
It's like, well, when people are like, I know her better than you,
I get pissed.
You get so mad because I feel like, yeah, it's like there, she's being kind of territorial. Like that's, you know, I know my son better than
yeah,
you.
Yeah, she's peeing on your leg while she's going by. It's right. honestly that.
By the way, I love that you make green smoothies. I think they're so good. Like, yeah. whenever I drink them, I notice a huge boost in energy and, like, my skin clears up and stuff. I used to be such a hater on them, and then I started drinking them, and they were so good.
Dude, I had an ex where I would have to stick up for her to her whole family, like, at the same time. It was like I was fucking Zorro sword fighting a room.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just, and it, but you know, at the end of the day, I also know the role of the parents in a relationship. And at the end of the day, I would go up to the dad and be like, yo, I said what I said in defense of your daughter, not as a between you and I thing. I respect you. So this is an important thing to do as well, right? Not just like treating it like, hey, she's coming down on me about some shit. She's being prickly about things. Like, it's also about is showing that you respect them, I think, can be really helpful to, as far as like getting your relationship back on the rails.
That's true. And I feel like the way that I won over my ex's mother was I just spent more time with her and like did some stuff that she liked to do just to like get to know her better. And then it's like you're coming from a basis of understanding rather than like butting heads all the time. But I think that also comes with the territory of me having a good relationship with my own mother. So I think it could be harder if you weren't raised with a mother.
No doubt.
Too.
But right. establishing that respect is important.
Yeah.
Because then they see you not as an enemy from minute one, right?
Totally.
That's just a little trick. You know, you don't have to get this woman to respect you.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, he loves you, and yeah. he loves everything about you, and including all aspects of your personality, and that's what really matters. But, you know, long term, it would be more peaceful to be able to get along with your in-laws, and I think that peace comes from them feeling respected.
And I think that probably the only person who's going to get your mom to listen is her son, right? It seems like. So if he was to stick up for you and be like, yo, I'm eating this green shit right now because I want it. I don't want to eat fucking pancakes and shit. Then she's going to shut up next time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And I always see the movies like daughter or mother-in-laws with their daughter-in-laws with this cute relationship. Like they're going dress shopping and I'm like, I want that. But it's okay. It's not going to happen.
Just like that, huh? You know it's not happening?
It's all right. I'll have a cool dad-in-law camping relationship.
There you go.
There you go.
How is he? Do you get you're getting along with him just fine, huh?
He's quiet and he just kind of lets things go like with the flow, and he doesn't really have much to say, and I like it like that.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
We have one of these in our family. yeah.
Alrighty.
That's true. But yeah, I keep your head up. Don't let her get you down. But you know, I would if you want peace, I would try to like get some sort of like mutual respect going, but otherwise just be you.
Yeah, that's all you can do. And you know, have your dude be like, yo ma, lay off her. Jesus.
Oh yeah,
what's your deal
for you,
right?
Because yeah. for some reason she's not gonna listen to you, which is terrible.
Yeah,
well thanks Naomi, I hope things get better.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
And have a good Christmas and Thanksgiving, Naomi.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Poor chick. Damn.
Yeah, man. I got so lucky with my in-laws.
I was just about to say that, man.
Yeah.
This is just like we got off the phone with the chick about the porn, and it's like, yeah. Oh, man, we fucking a lot. And it's like, oh, man, we got such sick in-laws.
No.
Jesus.
We suck. We're assholes.
I'm sorry, everybody.
I'm sorry. We're assholes. No, but I feel like I've gone through those other experiences.
Me too.
On the their side, you know? Yeah. Definitely had a boyfriend that was masturbating to porn more than he was having sex with me before. And then vice versa.
Listen, man, sometimes I was in a sexual relationship with somebody who didn't want to do things that help me be in the game for the sexual relationship.
Mm,
and
like so foreplay.
When shit like that's going on,
yeah,
you don't feel like
having
sex is fun.
Right.
You feel like sex is work.
Mm.
Like, and so when it gets to that point, then yeah, maybe the guy needs to rub one out or whatever. I'm not saying that's what's happening there. I'm just saying like, there are more shades to all of this.
Different circumstances.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that definitely, that right there made me dread sex with this person. I was just like, whatever.
You'd have to like drink.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. You have to drink. You'd have to fucking, you know, like get in the shower or whatever.
Do some affirmations.
Just something. Yeah, something to just, you know.
Yeah.
Focus on something else because it was not. You're not there because you're like, oh, this person likes me. It was like, this person needs to get off on my body, I guess.
True.
And that's all we have for today's episode. We had so many calls for this episode, everybody. We have to split this episode 100 into two episodes.
Two videos.
So we're going to have, it'll be episode 100 and episode 100B or something like that.
Probably 101, if I was counting.
Oh, I like that. Well, we'll make it an extra episode.
All right.
I enjoy that.
How about them apples?
Thank you for all your questions. Holy cow, there was so many.
So I know,
we just
want to
keep the ball rolling. So.
So tune in next week, and we will finish all of these awesome questions.
Yes.
Please.
And one of you, we left a message for you.
Yeah.
So we'll get you on eventually.
I think
maybe episode 200.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.